All right, welcome to another Deep Dive, and today we're going on a legal expedition, you could say. We're climbing Mount Contract Law with this case, Lotka v. Geographic Expeditions.
A case with some seriously high-stakes legal issues, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. We've got court opinions, legal briefs, the whole shebang. We're ready to unpack this one for all you legal eagles out there.
It's a fascinating case. Really demonstrates how things can go wrong when adventure tourism and contract law collide.
Yeah. You know, it's like, picture this. You're all excited about this epic adventure, you know, and you sign a contract, but it turns out to be more of a legal trap than a ticket to paradise.
Right. And that's exactly what happened in Lotka.
So let's get to the backstory. We've got Jason Lotka and his mother, Sandra Menifee, all set to conquer Mount Kilimanjaro with Geographic Expeditions. Or GOX, as we'll call them from now on.
And this is where things start to get a little treacherous, legally speaking.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they get hit with this liability waiver that's got more red flags than a mountain rescue signal.
Yeah, it really highlights just how much power these companies can have.
Like, just to give you a taste, the waiver says GOX's liability is capped at the cost of the trip.
Which was?
A measly $16,831.
Huh.
Even if someone dies because of something they did.
Wow.
I know, right?
That's less than a new car.
Yeah. And as if that wasn't enough, get this, any disputes have to go through mediation and arbitration.
Oh, so no chance of a courtroom showdown.
Nope. And not just any arbitration. It has to happen on GOX's home turf, San Francisco.
Talk about an uphill battle.
Oh, and to add insult to injury, the participants have to cough up half the mediation costs and even pay GOX's legal fees if they decide to sue. I mean, come on, that's practically bugging people not to fight back.
It's really a textbook example of what we call unconscionability in contract law.
And for our listeners who might not be legal experts.
Basically, it means that a contract is so ridiculously unfair, so one-sided, that it just can't be enforced.
It's like the legal equivalent of a rigged game, right?
Exactly.
And the courts in Lotka, they were not playing around. They went full-on legal scholar on this concept, breaking it down into procedural and substantive unconscionability.
It's a crucial distinction, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Procedural unconscionability is all about how the contract was formed. You know, was there any real opportunity to negotiate those terms, or was it a take it or leave it situation?
Right. And then substantive unconscionability, that focuses on the actual terms themselves. Like, are they so outrageous, so out of whack that they basically shock the conscience?
Exactly.
And in Lotka, both of those boxes were checked. And here's where it gets even more tragic. So during the expedition, Jason Lotka, he actually dies from altitude sickness.
It's just a heartbreaking turn of events.
It is. And then his mother, understandably devastated, she decides to sue. And guess what? GOX tries to hide behind this waiver. Like, oh, hey, look at this waiver everyone signed. Too bad, so sad.
The classic, it's standard industry practice defense.
Yeah.
But as Lotka shows, the courts aren't always buying that argument.
Not this time. Not even close.
And here's where the courts really got into the nitty-gritty of unconscionability. They use something called the sliding scale test.
The sliding scale? Okay, so is that kind of like, you know how a seesaw works?
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
One side goes up, the other goes down.
Exactly. It means that the more outrageous the terms of the contract are, the less evidence you need of procedural problems to throw the whole thing out.
So basically, in Lotka, even if there wasn't a ton of proof that the signing process was shady, the terms themselves were so bad, so one-sided that it didn't even matter.
Right. The court basically said, look, these terms are so ridiculous that even if there was a tiny chance to negotiate them, it wouldn't have changed the fact that they're fundamentally unfair.
So it's like, it sets a precedent, right? It shows that courts are willing to say, hold on, we're not going to let companies get away with this. Everyone else does it. Excuse when the terms are this bad.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that contracts need to be fair. They can't just be tools for companies to avoid responsibility.
Now, GOX didn't give up without a fight. They tried to argue that the court should just strike out the bad parts of the waiver. You know, like just remove the unconscionable bits and keep the rest.
They were hoping the court would go for severability, which basically means cutting out the problematic parts and letting the rest of the contract stand.
But the court wasn't having any of it.
They saw right through that tactic.
Right. They said, nope, this whole waiver is a mess.
Exactly. It wasn't just a couple of bad clauses. The whole thing was designed to shield GOX from any accountability.
So trying to fix it by just cutting out a few parts wouldn't have solved the problem. It would be like trying to patch up a sinking ship with a tiny piece of duct tape.
Yeah, a good analogy. The court realized that the whole agreement was meant to discourage people from suing and to make it super hard to hold GeoX accountable, even if they were negligent.
So, okay, you're good at seeing the big picture. What's the takeaway here? Why should lawyers and, you know, really anyone who signs contracts care about this case?
Well, I think LATCA is a landmark case because it shows the limits of what companies can get away with in contracts. It says that courts are willing to step in and protect people from terms that are truly outrageous.
And it reminds us that contracts are more than just pieces of paper.
Right. They're agreements between people, and they should be based on fairness and a sense of justice.
So after all that legal wrangling, what's the bottom line? What are the big takeaways from this LATCA case?
Well, I think LATCA teaches us some valuable lessons, both for the folks signing contracts and for the ones writing them.
Yeah, totally. Like, for anyone signing a contract, it's a huge reminder to really pay attention to what you're agreeing to. You know, don't just skim through it. Read the fine print.
Absolutely. Don't let the excitement of the adventure or, you know, whatever it is you're signing up for make you overlook those crucial details. If something seems off or too good to be true.
It probably is.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to ask questions, you know, push back a little, or even get a lawyer to look it over if you need to, especially when it involves like risky activities like this Kilimanjaro expedition.
And for the lawyers out there, you know, the ones drafting these contracts, well, LATCA is a pretty clear warning sign. Trying to bury unfair terms in a bunch of legal jargon, it's not going to fly.
Right. Courts are getting smarter about this kind of stuff. And if they see a pattern of unconscionability, they're not going to hesitate to call it out.
And it's not just about avoiding lawsuits, right?
Yeah.
It's about being ethical, being responsible when you're drawing up these agreements.
Exactly. You know, when you create contracts that are fair and transparent, it builds trust. It benefits everyone involved.
And let's be honest, it probably makes for a much less stressful day in court.
You're sure.
So, yeah, I think LATCA v. Geographic Expeditions is a really powerful example of how, even when we're, you know, chasing adventure, the law is still there. It's there to make sure that contracts are used fairly, not to take advantage of people. Mm. So to all our listeners out there, stay informed, read those contracts carefully, and don't be afraid to speak up if something doesn't seem right. You never know. You might just end up setting a legal precedent yourself.
Great advice. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into LATCA v. Geographic Expeditions. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, stay sharp.